comments on Serotalk Tech Chats are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotech Corporation, its staff, management, third-party resellers. Welcome to the latest Serotalk Tech Chat, powered by Accessible Event, a product of Serotech Corporation, giving the blind, deaf, and deafblind full access to classes, meetings, and webinars using Microsoft Word documents, Excel spreadsheets, PowerPoint slides, and web pages. 508 compliance is just one click away at www.accessibleevent.com. And now, here's your host, Michael Loft. And welcome to Serotalk Tech Chat 101 for May 12, 2011. This is Michael Loft. Our title tonight, Accessible Games for iOS Devices. And by iOS, we mean the iPhone 3GS, iPhone 4, iPod Touch, iPad, and iPad 2. In the co-pilot chair tonight, we have Mr. Joe Steinkamp, our producer and aficionado, helps everything flow as smoothly as live.
Good evening.
As smoothly as live broadcasting can be. Also joining me tonight is Michael Fair. He was the creator and first editor, publisher of the Odyssey magazine. Thank you, Michael, for joining us again tonight.
Always a pleasure.
And a special guest we have tonight, we're very honored to have Kwasi Mensa. He's one of a team of developers for the game Stem Stumper. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
And excited to be here.
How do you pronounce this website? Anonce? How do you say this?
Oh, Anansi Productions.
Anansi Productions.
Anansi, after the spider.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Very good. Yeah. Well, we are going to cover a variety of different games for iOS devices, but we asked the folks on Twitter, what were your favorite games? And we certainly got a list of many games. There are many more that we're not going to cover. But before we go there, I'm going to play a pre-recorded interview that we conducted with Jonathan Chacon. He was the author of Accessible Minesweeper, and he'll tell us about spending 7 months to get up to speed and 120 hours to program this awesome game. So let's go there first, and then we'll speak with our guest this evening. And it's part of our tech chat on accessible games for iOS, that being the iPhone, iPod Touch, and iPad. I'm speaking with Jonathan Chacon, who is the creator of Accessible Minesweeper. Thank you for joining us today, Jonathan.
Thank you to you.
Also on Skype here with me is Joe Steinkamp, podcast and tech chat producer. Jonathan, Minesweeper was not your first program, right? You've done quite a bit in the programming space, but maybe your first as far as iOS games. Is that correct?
Yes, I developed games for Windows and SDOS, but my first development project is for websites. I play role-play games with my friends. After lunch with my mates in the office, I play cards, poker.
Role-playing, RPGs?
See, RPGs, but not in computer RPGs. We use book or paper, the dice.
Dungeons and Dragons and those types of games,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, okay. Vampire the Masquerade.
Yes, okay. White Wolf.
I play Ventruth.
Yeah, the White Wolf games and some of those. I'm familiar with those, yeah.
I love it.
So what inspired you to create a game on the Apple iOS platform?
Because Apple gives to the developers good accessibility platform. Android is not accessible. Symbian is not enough to develop an accessible game. Windows Phone series is horrible. I think that iOS is the perfect solution to develop accessible application and accessible games.
Well, because I know someone will ask, are you looking at, have you given any thought to Android?
Yeah, I was studying Android platform last year. I was talking with some developers for Android. Everybody tell me that the accessibility API Android is very limited. It has very limits and is not enough. I think that Google doesn't know what is accessibility and they are not working in it.
Okay, so from the time you decided to create the Accessible Minesweeper for iOS, how long did it actually take you to develop it?
I spent 120 hours typing code, but I had to study and learn Cocoa, iOS platform, and I only could develop in my free time. I spent 7 months.
About 7 months? Do you have any tips for other game developers? Either need to create games, or just submitting to the Apple system?
Yeah, Apple development tools are not very accessible. I recommend that before to type code, learn Cocoa, don't use Interface Builder, and read all the documentation of Apple for developers, because they have many documentation about guides, about the interface, about the accessibility. They have the better documentation about accessibility that I found.
Okay, what other iOS games do you play? Was there some game that kind of inspired you to do this?
Yeah, Stan Stamper, do you know it?
Yes, they are on the program this evening with us.
Chess-wise, but I'm not a good player of chess.
So what other projects are you looking at either now or into the future?
Actually, I'm working about accessible battleship, a strategy board play game that you have to link atoms. You have a list of atoms. Some atoms need two links or three, and some atoms only need one link.
Like the old pipe games where you connect to make things flow.
Yeah,
back
yeah.
And forth.
You have a grid. You have to put the atoms on the grid.
There you go.
Linking them.
Right, you link them onto the grid. Okay. Oh, so what do you see for the future of gaming? Where do you think it's going to go?
We can use hands. I think in the future we will can use our voice, our body, and our mind. I'm researching in some projects in my company about recognizing body movement. A mate of my office is working about read minds, right minds. He cannot use his hands. He has to use a computer using his voice, but he wants to use his mind. He's working in it.
So things like the Microsoft Kinect, there's some control where you would flex your muscles of your face, or you would send a certain thought and it would pick up on that. That's what you're looking at.
Yeah, but Kinect has a big problem. If you use a wheelchair, Kinect cannot recognize your wheelchair. If you have not five fingers in your arm, Kinect thinks that you have some finger closed.
Because it uses some control states for open palm and closed palm. What character do you play in Vampire? What's your favorite?
I love Ventru Clam. 1997.
I'll go geeky here for a second. I've been playing Dungeons & Dragons since 82 in First Core Rules, so I'm with you on the 20-sided die front.
I played Dungeons & Dragons 3.5. I was bored with Dungeons & Dragons because only you fight.
Right.
Vampire is politic, fight, and more.
Exactly. And they've gone to the point where they use a lot more figures and you have to put things on a map. Yeah, it's more action-oriented rather than talking things out or solving puzzles, which was the way I grew up on it too, was you solved a puzzle. Is that kind of what led you to like, you know, Minesweeper, is that you like to do puzzles?
Yeah.
I have not beat this on the hardest setting yet. I have gotten basic, which was a nice ramp up into easy and then medium. The app is available on the Apple Store, so if you go searching for accessible Minesweeper, you can find it there. And currently the U.S. price is 99 cents. Jonathan, we appreciate you coming on the program.
Yes, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
And it's part of our... Okay. All right. So that was Jonathan Chacon, Accessible Minesweeper, and there's unfortunately our folks in the chat here did not get to hear that, and I want to ask Kwasi a couple questions about that later, some interesting things that he had mentioned. So before we do that,
so
I'm going
cheated and listened to it.
Oh, you did listen to it. Okay, well, good. I'm going to ask you
part of it. Yep.
I'm going to ask you a couple questions then. Yep. Are you looking at doing anything on the Android operating system? Or are you kind of at the same feeling that there's some limitations?
From what I understand, there's a lot of limitations accessibility-wise, but I do have a lot of friends who don't own iPhones, and a lot of people who, and I think there is a market out there that we're not taking advantage of yet, and I think it would be really good for us to make an Android version of Stem Stumper.
Okay, and what about his comments about using your voice or body gestures, hand gestures, or even the process of thinking something and making it come into fruition, or eye movement, anything like that. Is your company looking at anything like that?
Not really. Not messing with anything with the Kinect. We're going to kind of stay with mobile platforms for the time being. The idea of using gestures is really interesting. One of the things that Nazi Productions is trying to do, though, is even though Sunstumper is blind accessible, and that's where we focused our efforts on it, we tried to make the game as accessible all around. So I don't think we would do anything gesture-wise if there wasn't like some other way to do the same action in the game.
Okay, so let's go back. The main reason you're here, and someone's typing. Please mute yourself if you could.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. So if let's talk about Sunstumper, what it does, and you know how you the concept of the game, what you have to do to beat the game, and was it specifically designed for the blind, or was it designed just to be have an audio mode, and then the blind took off and really made it popular? What kind of explain the game?
We did design it for the blind from the very onset. Actually, the original game was something close to Breakout or Brick Breaker. But then when I actually got that working with, tried to get that working with voiceover, that was kind of a complete failure and made me go back to, you know, stage one. But the blind was always, were always, an audience we were trying to reach with Sunstumper.
Okay, awesome. So just give an overview of the game. Someone's never played it yet. What is the mission? What are they trying to accomplish? And what are some things to keep in mind to help them kind of get started, get their head around the game?
So the idea is you are Mimia the Vine. You are trying to find fertilizer in each of the gardens, each of the levels. But there are going to be things in your way stopping you from getting the fertilizer. There's going to be tree stumps. There's going to be weed killer. And in order to get past those obstacles, you're going to find the angry acorns or the slingshots in order to get past stumps or the shields to get past weed killer. Now, you also have to worry about your flower power. Every time you use an Agri Acorn, a shield, or a slingshot, you lose a little bit of your flower power. So you're trying to manage all of that at the same time and trying to find the best way through a level in order to get the highest score, to get more carrots so that you can unlock more gardens. It's kind of complicated.
But like all games, you have a beginner, I guess intermediate and advanced level, so you can certainly start on a beginner, get your head around it, and then advance.
Yep.
Wow, flower power. That takes me back to the 70s.
Thing,
go ahead.
Yeah. We do a lot of things to help people starting off. There is, we have a no-fail mode. We spend a lot of time tuning our tutorials. And, you know, we don't start you off in sonar mode right away.
Okay, very good. Michael, you've played it. Do you have any questions?
Well, going back to how you started with this, what twigged you initially to the whole blind market? It's very, it's a new phenomenon that I'm finding that a lot of developers on the iPhone have actually, from the word go, paid attention to us. A lot of the games I covered when I started Odyssey way back in '96 were just accessible by pure accident. It wasn't intentional at all. It just happened to be text. So this is a really good development. What got you started? Like, what made you think of the blind initially?
Anansi Productions was... That's the company I started, the company that made Sunstumper. Our main goal is kind of to increase diversity in games and to bring more people to the table. And for our first project, we were kind of looking for something that was more technically based, and not kind of culturally based, because that has whole kind of thorns in it if you're not actually experienced in doing that. And I knew I wanted to make an iPhone game because I had a little bit of experience there, and Apple and the iPhone being such a great accessibility platform, it seemed like the best place to best place to start off with would be blind accessibility. Plus, I also figured that would be the hardest disability to kind of wrap my head around, going from professional console development to, you know, serving an audience that I've never had to serve before. So I thought that would give us the biggest preparedness to have stuff carry over to our next projects afterwards.
So you're planning then to continue making games that are as accessible to as many people as possible going forward then?
Yes, definitely.
Excellent.
One of the things about the game, and getting back to how you work your way into it, is the wonderful way that it gives a tutorial and leads you into things. And the voiceover tutorial, or shall I say the tutorial that is voiceover accessible, is really great about prompting you double tap the screen and remember, you know, it's at the bottom of the right when you do a starting point. And those were some really great ways to consistently bring someone into the game world. And when you introduce a new thing, like when you get to the slingshots, it really does help get an idea of how things work in the game as far as the game mechanics go. Was there a lot of thought into that, or did you involve other people in the beta testing of that, or did it just come up as you were going through it?
We had really awesome play testers that went through the tutorials, went through a lot of iterations, gave me a lot of headaches towards the end of the project. And basically, we just had three or four rounds, actually closer to five or six rounds of people coming back to us and be like, this still isn't clear. So we got playtesters off of the Odyssey Odyssey email list and the VIPhone email list, and they were just awesome and gave us great feedback and helped us tune that until, you know, it got to where it is now.
It shows. It really does show as you start to increase mechanics. Now, The part that probably is frustrating is three carrots and the need for carrots as you unlock and do more and do more. And the feedback is really great. Of course, you can get an idea of one of three carrots. But let's break it down for somebody who's already played. How do we get to the magical three carrots, and what are some great ideas of knowing how to do that? Because I guess in a way, visually, and I'm low vision, I can see sometimes, and I'm flipping in and out of sonar mode, but visually I can sort of get an idea around it, and then others might not get an idea of how would that calculation happens, or what needs to happen to get to the magical three carrots.
So that's actually something I thought was really interesting. We designed it so that you didn't need three carrots to move on, and we thought only people who were really into the game would have to have the three carrots, but it seemed a lot of people weren't moving on to levels until they got all three carrots. So that's something we're definitely going to take into account for the sequel. You want to blow up as few stumps as possible, so you want to go for the angry acorns that blow up the most stumps. You want to find the fertilizer beforehand and kind of map out what's in the way between you and the fertilizer. A really cool thing with shields is one shield will take out all the weed killer on the way to something, so you might want to try and maximize the amount of weed killer you take out with one shield. Those are tips that I have off the top of my head, I guess.
That last one is the big one. If you know that you have a gigantic amount of terrain to travel to get to a certain fertilizer, that will make life a lot easier, because you can always backtrack. It's not a one-way travel. Right. If you go from right side to left side, you can always go back to the middle and pick up that fertilizer you walked past. It doesn't have to be, I have to get them in order. And I think that was one of the things I had to, especially when I was playing it in sonar mode, I had to sit down and think, oh, wait, no, I can always go back because I've already traversed that weed killer, so I'm good. Yeah, okay, cool.
Yep.
And what was your reference to Stumper 2? You mentioned that. Where are you taking the game?
Oops, I spilled the beans. Wasn't meant to talk.
Oh, okay.
I was going to come back to that, but sure, go ahead.
I think we can... I have an idea for a new kind of power-up that I'm not going to spill the beans on, and adding multiplayer. So having a bigger board and having you and somebody else start on opposite sides of it and either seeing who can get the most fertilizer, who can get fertilizer first, or have some type of co-op mode to it. Those are kind of the big ideas I have for Stumper 2.
Awesome. Do we have any multiplayer games for the blind on iOS? I'm not aware of any, but I'm not a gamer. Do we have anything in that space?
I haven't played King's Corner, but I don't know if
King's Corner
allows
you
to play. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, King's Corner will let you do that, and there seems to be, in my mind, I think you can do that also through either one of the word games, either Word Warp or Word Popper. I can't remember which one it is.
Okay, so you have a
special... So there are some.
You have a special for White Cane Week, May 15th through the 21st. What are you doing there?
Yep. We are lowering the game to 99 cents. in order to kind of it's not, we're not actually doing this with the Lions Club. I don't think anyone from the, I emailed them and I don't think they kind of know who I am, but I just thought it lined up well with Stem Supper being out for a month, and kind of give a chance for people who haven't gotten a chance to play it to, you know, see how awesome it is, and get a chance to pick it up cheaply.
No, that's crazy vision of it, using a white cane as the ultimate Stem Stumper. Anyway, that's pretty cool, sir. You heard it, folks. May 15th through 21, grab it for 99 cents, or go ahead and pay the full price and support the company. That's, you know, this is a team effort. This isn't just even one person who's gone out and made a very conscious effort to make an accessible game for the blind. So we certainly encourage you to purchase the game, or let other people you know who are gamers be made aware of the fact that here you have really a mainstream company that's come in and made a game that's accessible for the blind. Talk about what other types of things you did before you created this. What operating systems, what environments did you work in and produce games for?
I guess I've been programming in C++ for over 10 years now, so since I was in high school. I've worked for professional game companies. I spent about 2 years at Demiurge Studios. They've worked on the PC port of Mass Effect and Green Day Rock Band. And I also interned for a summer at Electronic Arts in Los Angeles, working on Medal of Honor Airborne. I've worked on some student projects, but none of them really of note. But yeah, that's kind of my background when it comes to game development.
I'm going to geek out for a second. Airborne was really neat. I love the concept that you could start just about anywhere. And that game really experimented with the idea of thinking about how you play a game rather than just run and gun. So,
yeah, I know the two programmers who spent a ton of time programming that AI. And kind of, it was a really neat concept. And I kind of wish Call of Duty kind of went the complete opposite way of just scripting everything. And I don't think a lot of gamers appreciated how Medal of Honor Airborne was much more of a thinking person's game.
Red Faction certainly went that way. I mean, look at Guerrilla. It definitely went in a different direction of try anything and do anything. So it's and getting back to where we were for a second, your game is very accessible, not just from the blindness perspective, but certainly I've said this on Serotalk, what I really admire about this is that it's a great way to have others who are sighted get an idea of what it's like to approach things from a non-visual perspective. And I worked in government for 10 years, and I would have loved a tool like this to be able to work with parents and kids to understand and kind of conceptualize how to do things non-visually. Because one of the most difficult things for a sighted parent is to put themselves in their children's shoes. And I think Stem Stumper is a great tool for being able to go to sonar mode and allow that parent to kind of think the same way that a blind individual would have to solve the puzzle. And for those who don't have the application on their iPhone or iPad or what have you, what it is that there is a grid, and sonar mode allows you to just have just the grid with no graphics. It's all black, but you can still get an idea of what's happening by putting your finger over each individual area and getting voiceover to tell you what that is. And again, I think that's really neat. And one of the things about the program that's unique is that it's a great learning tool.
Yeah. I actually spent a lot of time figuring out how I wanted Sonar Mode to work. One of the things I noticed really early on is that voiceover should kind of be the icing on the cake. I knew I wanted to have, you know, have people that I know who are sighted be able to play the game. And actually, sonar mode is kind of subversive in that sighted people don't necessarily need to know that it's about visualizing from a blind person's point of view. But we made sure that you could play the game without voiceover with sonar mode on, and kind of didn't have to force people to go through that learning curve also.
So what games were your motivation to create Stem Stumper? I assume you played with something else first. I know you mentioned you have actually played Accessible Minesweeper and a couple other games. What did you play that made you think, hey, I could program something for the blind in this space, iOS?
So, yeah. So I guess I actually didn't really come at it from a accessible point of view. I came at it from a puzzle point of view, and you know, I think people, sighted or non-sighted, if the puzzle is like, if the the problem is in their head, and it isn't so much about like you have so much time to solve it in, or you have to notice this stupid symbol on the screen, I think that's a game that that everyone can come to the table and be like, I enjoy this. So I looked at games more like Portal, where Portal and Braid, where you're given kind of a small number of moves and a small number of obstacles, but they're put together in kind of really ingenious ways. And so that's where I kind of approach Stem Stumper's design from.
Well, very cool. Now we have
That makes a lot of sense, actually. That makes a lot of sense, actually, and for those who don't play real big-time console games, Portal is a way of going through kind of a maze, and you can actually open holes with what's called a portal gun, so you can actually walk through a hole and appear somewhere else, and it kind of connects things magically. And I see where you're going with that, with the design of starting in one place and trying to end up in another. It comes through in the design in that situation, but now you're going to have to invent a GLaDOS.
Yeah. Yes. You have to invent some type of, like, crazy bunny or something that's making sure that you don't grow or something. I don't know.
Or making fun of you, or if you don't do it within 3 carats, or, you know, you certainly took up a lot, or flower power. Yeah, I think there's a lot there to go, and then you're going to have to find a crazy voice to go with that.
Right.
Very cool. Mike, I wanted to ask you about this. You mentioned earlier, of course, Odyssey Magazine, which, of course, you founded and were the original editor. I believe you said 1996 on that. But you've also... What is this website here? It is audiogames.net. That kind of carries on. So I'm kind of explain what people can find at that site.
That site was initially sort of competing with Odyssey just became the central site as issues have slowed down, haven't been as published as frequently. They have a complete collection of Odyssey issues, and they also have other reviews that have been made since, and discussion forums. It's really become a great, you know, combined with the Odyssey email list, those two things really are, I guess, have become the central portals where people can exchange ideas and thoughts and discuss games that are being developed or out there.
Well, very good. I wanted to make sure that people were aware of that, so they could certainly, you know. We have some other games here. I just want to mention these. Any of you can comment on any of these that you have played with. So we'll just throw them out here. Adaptive Trivia.
Yep, I played that one. That one is really great. You can actually set it to have no time limit. You have an opening screen, which will break the categories down into 3 separate things, like entertainment and then news, and then there's ones about word. Or you can kind of have it randomized and grab any of the ones that are available. The good thing about this one is that it's a free game. You can try it out and see how you like it. You can actually set it to have a time limit, so it just depends how fast you have your voiceover sped up. The cool thing is that if you do like it, you can unlock more questions, more than, I think, 1,500 different questions. And it's 99 cents to be able to unlock. You can do that as an in-app purchase. And I found myself during vacation also playing this one a lot. You have to be, if you're going to get into the entertainment portion, a hint is to learn your American Idol, because there's a lot of questions based off of who won American Idol or who might have appeared on American Idol. And for those who are looking for It's not you don't know Jack. Unfortunately, that's not very voiceover accessible, and in fact, it's not very low vision accessible either. But if you're looking for a trivia game and to scratch your head, this is actually a really good app and really easy, and I want to thank Luis for pointing this one out for us. And definitely go grab that. Look up Adapt Trivia.
Okay, I saw it as Adapt, and I saw it as Adaptive, so I don't know if someone mislabeled it or...
Well, the App Store will find it and say, you know, did you mean this as well? Or it'll show up in your pop-up as you're typing it in on the right side.
Yeah, it's one thing where it has one name in the App Store, and then when you install the app, it has a different name. I've seen that on quite a number of apps in different categories. Another one
Minesweeper was like that.
Yeah, yeah, an accessible Minesweeper. Aurify?
That was interesting. I've started that.
I've played Aurify.
Okay. I haven't really gotten too far yet, but I played a few of the levels.
Okay, I'll ask Kwasi about your thoughts on that game. I know you said you played three of these games, and what was your takeaway from that?
I played Aurify. I remember there being quite a bit of lag between like when I tapped the screen and when it actually reacted to me tapping, but then I realized I was playing on my old iPhone 3, and I haven't given it a try on my iPhone 4 yet.
Okay, and Michael, what were you saying? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, sir.
No, that's all right. Yeah, I've played a few levels of it, and I like it so far. It's a different concept, you know, dealing with the tilting of the iPhone, and it just uses all the motion, the taps, the tilts, the different positions on the screen that you have to find. You turn voiceover off when you're going with it, and it really does. It works well. They seem to have thought through everything nicely. I just find it's not as like it takes time to get used to how it responds. Like you tilt it, and it's hard to sort of like say you're tilting to center a sound. It feels like you have like less control. Like it doesn't respond quite as quick as you tilt it this way and that as you might think it ought to. But it's really a good concept.
And that brings up a point. If certain games are really optimized for, say, the iPhone 4, so if you have a 3GS or 3, you know, you're just not going to get the full benefit of them. They're not optimized to work in that space. Okay, so we also have Bop It. And, of course, Jonathan mentioned ChessWise. So have any of you played it? I'm curious how you emulate playing chess on an iOS keyboard or on the keypad or the touch screen.
I totally meant to play with that before we got to show, and I started playing King's Corner and forgot what I meant to be doing. So
okay,
I'm the one who kind of let the team down here. But yeah, ChessWise, I've heard lots of great things about, and may have to follow up with that on a future Cero talk. But that also is available, and I think Josh Lioncourt and some others have really sung its praises. So definitely one of those you want to go check out.
Okay, what about Frotz?
Yep.
Oh, yes.
I've tried that. The one thing that I should mention about Frotz, and it's kind of critical, especially to beginner players, is it does play the interactive fiction games. It does that quite well. The only catch is that if you have to access the hints, like a lot of these games, if you type help and hit enter, they come up with these inbuilt menus of hints or help to the game. And I have yet to find a real good way of accessing those. Like it's really, it doesn't indicate what option you're resting on in the menu. And that's really unfortunate because a lot of the games have a lot of really useful built-in help and instructions specific to those games and also just general as to how to do interactive fiction. So it's a shame that no one sort of found a way to access, make those resources accessible to us. I'm really hoping, and that goes for the PC too, by the way. I'm really hoping someone somewhere will rectify that situation and sort of bring interactive fiction back into accessibility for us. And I think I have higher hopes for the iPhone to eventually do that.
A way that I kind of get around that is I'll pop into AppSwitcher, go over to Safari, and go over to GameFAQs, www.gamefaqs.com. GameFAQs is a way that people have written tutorials or walkthroughs on not just games for iOS, but games in general that go all the way back to DOS and the Hitchhiker's Guide stuff and all of those. And I warn you, though, if you're going to use GameFAQs, understand that these will actually solve the game for you. So yeah. You probably just want to be able to use them just to get yourself through a place where you're stuck. Otherwise, you'll find yourself going back to them and literally letting that guide you by the hand. There are some spoiler-free ones, too. So they only tell you the answers to a puzzle rather than, you know, than the story that goes along with it. But GameFAQs is a great way to also, if you work with, I've worked with people before who their children are into video games, but they're worried about the content that their children are playing. GameFAQs is a great way to be able to go and read what the game is laid out like, if there's some story elements you don't necessarily want to expose your child to. They also can be a great way of experiencing the game with your child. There was a gentleman I worked with several years ago who was upset that he couldn't play Halo, and he would go to these meetings with his child at Cub Scouts and stuff, and he wouldn't be able to take part in the conversations with the fathers. And what I talked to him about was go ahead and have GameFAQs up with your screen reader and read ahead in the next paragraph and start being the co-pilot. Start giving him ideas of go left, and coming up there's going to be some brutes and then some elites. And then you can, you know, help them go through that. And there's a lot of interactive fiction with some of these games. So there's books and actual graphic novels with audio, so you can actually take part in some of the experience of the game and still not feel left out and be a part and help. Achievements is another way too. Stem Stumper, which is awesome with achievements, is a great way to get you to have replayability in a game, and working out the achievements and working out goals with someone to help you make those achievements is really great. Like in it's a shield shiner, so using the shield 30 times, angry acorn, you poke enough angry acorns in Stem Stumper, that helps you get those achievements. And you can find all that in Game Center, and that's available also through your iOS device. And logging in for Game Center, you can actually get into the leaderboards, which is really cool, because then you can find out what other people have done, what other people, if you have friends, where they are, and you can try and outscore them. So there's a lot of neat things that are happening in accessible gaming that kind of already exist in the mainstream gaming world. And you find yourself wondering, not only do I worry about that Foursquare badge, but man, if I just keep at this, I can actually get that achievement unlocked on this one game.
Okay, let's look at some of the other games here. It was King's Corner. I believe, Joe, you mentioned you tampered with that one a little bit.
Absolutely. This one has taken up a lot of my time lately. I like running it in the background. In fact, I'll listen to podcasts and leave King's Corner up and slip back and forth. The solitaire game, so you have to put down cards in order. So if there's a black 9, you want to put down a red 8. And then you want to go in descending order, and of course you want to put the kings on the side. The idea is to get rid of your cards first. It is a single-player game, so you can actually play that on your own, or there's the ability to do multiplayer, and you can actually play over the internet with individuals. There are some crazy achievements in this. There's actually 3. One, to finish the game on 1 round, 2 rounds, or 3 rounds. I've actually gotten they call it the King, Queen, and Jack achievements. I've gotten the King and the Jack achievement. And you can actually move your cards around. It's really great because you can tap the card you want, then drag your finger across the screen to the place that you want to put it. It's very voiceover friendly and great for if you're in line or in the doctor's office and you just want to kill maybe 5 to 10 minutes on a card game.
All right, good deal. Let's see what else we have. Moxie, I don't think anyone mentioned playing that one. No one that was really big, and this one really caused a lot of buzz, was the Papa Sangre game.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
All that three one of you done with that one.
That one is a great audio adventure, and made by the guys at Something Else. Something Else is a studio that does audio production for the BBC and some others. They do some third-party audio. They've built a codec which gives you an immersive feeling. And this is one of the games, like Aurify, you have to read the description because this is one that you really want headphones for. And the idea is to put yourself in this adventure, which is fully voiced, and work your way around the realms of the dead and be able to find your way out of the maze. And is extremely good for those late night sessions where you want to go in and really immerse yourself in a game world. And those guys are actually working on a second game, which has been released in the UK but hasn't made it internationally yet, called The Night Jar. And that one is actually, you are on a spaceship and you are possibly being hunted by something that wants to eat you. And it's being voiced by a well-known actor who's actually in the UK series Sherlock at the moment. So there's some really good stuff coming from something else. And we hope to get them on board at some point and do a, kind of a look into what they're doing. But if you're really looking for the full-on voice experience and true guide, and it too has voiceover menus that will actually teach you and give you tutorials, that Papa Sangre is the one that I'd say is one of the must-have game apps if you're into this kind of thing.
Yeah, great audio production. I mean, the sound effects and the music, that really impressed me. Kwasi, what was your take on playing the game?
They're way better at the audio part of it than I was. When planning Sim Sumper, we kind of knew we weren't going to beat them at, you know, making a really immersive world, doing all the crazy things they're doing with audio, which is why we kind of don't have a lot of self-voicing. We rely on voiceover, simply because that was what we could afford. But yeah, they do a really good job kind of immersing you into a world. We wanted to make sure we had a visual component, unlike they did, though, in order to have sighted people feel like they could play the game and make it more of a shared experience. But they did really good work.
So how does that work?
It was a gamble.
How does that work? I mean, as far as the licensing for the different sound effects and music, I mean, how much can that set you back? Or you have your own people create it, but...
We had a really amazing audio person on our team, Don Marie, who is actually an intern from the Berklee School of Music, which is right down the street from me. And she was doing it as part of her classwork. I think if I had to pay her market rates, Sim Sumper would probably be, you know, just beeps and bops, and me whatever I could wriggle out. So it can set you back really far. I'm guessing because the people at something else are audio production gurus, that's kind of right up their alley, so it's kind of, you know, not something that they think terribly hard about.
Yeah, definitely. Michael, do you have any thoughts on it before we cover the next game?
Well, in all fairness, like, as I've played both games, and I must say I've had more fun with Sim Sumper just because the gameplay, like, they Papa Sangre has fantastic audio, there's no getting around that. But the game itself, I think, could have used more mechanics, more things in it to make it more interesting than just, say, running away from things and grabbing at musical notes. I think there's scope for more, and I hope they pursue this. I hope something else goes farther and really looks at other interactions. I'd love to see them try to tackle combat or other things like that and really get more layered adventure, more layered mechanics, so there's more game in the game, as it were.
Okay, well, let's look at
more of a Shades of Doom kind of thing, with Shades of Doom and some of the other kind of FPSs in a way. I see where you're going with that.
Okay, let's mention these other games so we make sure we have some time for questions as well. We also have Soul Trapper.
Yep. Played that. Haven't won yet.
And the one you mentioned, Steve Jackson Sorcery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is Fighting Fantasy. It's I played those books. My father would read them to me as a child. And now I find I can actually play at least the first book. I'm hoping looks like they'll release the rest in this four-book epic series of them. that they're fully accessible. They're not. I don't think they were designed to be, but you can actually do all the things, choose all the options, of, and you don't need dice or anything like that. It's all contained. So I'm really looking forward to the rest of those books. I should warn people that other fighting fantasy series and other game books for the iPhone are not as accessible. The Tin Man games, avoid those. I bought one and found it was completely unplayable. Same with the, there's another company doing some fighting fantasy ones like Death Trap Dungeon. It was also completely inaccessible. But these, the Sorcerer series, at least those are, the first one is absolutely accessible, and if they stick to the same engine, we should see that the full, that at least the full epic adventure, made in accessible format.
And it all comes back around to pen and paper again. Steve Jackson, one of the grandfathers of pen and paper gaming, with TSR and GURPS and Auto Duel, and so many games that I played in science fiction conventions in the 80s that would probably take them another hour of tech chat. Soul Trapper is also available free. You can play the first four chapters without having to spend any of your money. The game was not intentionally made accessible. In fact, there are some buttons that aren't necessarily clearly labeled. You'll have to make some leaps of faith and some trial and error with the game, but it is fully voiced and designed to be more of a audio game than a visual game, and it is actually turning into a series of novels. When I was doing some of the research for our show, there was an article about how they're going to turn these into a three-book series based on the audio work that was done on Soul Trapper. So, but the cool thing is that it's available for free, so you can get an idea if you want to pay the full price for that.
Okay, there's a Sudoku tablet, which I'm guessing is iPad only. Is that something you played with, Joe?
I did. Me and numbers just suck. And so there's the classic South Park, I forgot to take it into account, I suck at math. The game is very accessible. I was able to run my hands over things and hear things. They were communicated. I'm not good enough with Sudoku to sit down and fly through a puzzle. In fact, I actually had to brush up on the rules before I went a little bit into this. I was able to complete a game, and the menus were easy to get to. And it, too, is free. So if you, like I, am not a big numbers person, you can at least find out what all the hubbub is about by downloading this and seeing what you think about it. But, yeah, Sudoku tablet was one of the ones that we were told to give a shot on Twitter.
Actually, I'm good at numbers. That's kind of one of my strange. I do better with numbers than people sometimes. We have two apps here, word games, I guess, Word Popper and Word Warp. Anyone want to comment on either of those two?
I played around with Word Popper this afternoon, at least the single portion of it, and that works. I'm not the one thing I'd think of. I'd have the same question as I would for one of All in Play's word games, in that I suspect that if you were to play it in competition with sighted peers, you'd be outgunned really quickly. I think it's one of these that would unfortunately give sighted people a big advantage, just because they can see it all at once, all the letters everywhere, and we have to sort of feel around for them quickly to see what's where to complete words. But it does seem to work. Like, I have managed to pop letters and make words and stuff.
I also think it's one of those that the iPhone has a better shot at than the iPad, because there's a lot more geography you have to cover on the iPad than you do the iPhone, where smaller play field, so you can get to the letters a lot quicker. And I found myself having to be very precise in, I would run my fingers over it and hear A or D and go, oh, dude, I can use, you know, I can make the word dad, but oh, where did D go? I went past it. Okay, I have to come back and be right on the fractal to be able to tap that and get voiceover to talk. So that may be, and to some respect, Papa Sangre is kind of more iPhone easy to hold and move your fingers back and forth than the iPad too. So there's some games where iPad benefits from having that, you know, very large screen, and you can get a good idea of a layout, where the iPhone is easier to hold in your hands and easier to maneuver. This is not unique, actually, in mainstream gaming, the same thing happens. You can actually have some games that don't translate down to the small screen and other games that work really better on a big television. So this is actually just kind of a gamer's delight, depending on if you're a mobile gamer or more of a sit-down gamer.
Okay, that leaves us with Zany Touch.
I think it's much more accessible than Bop-It. I tried both, and with Bop-It I find I can miss areas more easily where you're supposed to, and actually lose not because I didn't know the right gesture, but because I hit the wrong area of the phone or things like that. Whereas with Zany Touch, that happened a lot less frequently.
Okay, now you gave me a link that says choose your own adventure style games and statistics at www.choiceofgames.com. Explain, Michael, what we would find at that site.
Yeah, I stumbled on those. There's a bunch of them. They have choice of broadsides, choice of vampire, a whole series of these, and more are coming out, and they seem to allow people to actually make up these multiple choice games as well. I haven't really delved into that aspect of it much, but the game I tried most was Choice of Broadsides, and that you can actually choose what to advance yourself in. You'd have stats like morale and political connections and officer, like the skills to be a naval officer, various ones, and you actually, your choices will affect those stats throughout the game. So they really concentrate on the choice, all the different choices you make, and sort of stay away from the more complex game mechanics, as it were. So that's their sort of thrust, is these, they are completely accessible, these multiple choice games.
Oh, I always loved multiple choice, especially in school. Let's see. Okay. And of course, we have a link here. There's many other games here at applevis.com. I'll put that up in a minute. But first, I want to ask Kwasi about a link that you gave me. The International Game Developer Association's General Accessibility Special Interest Group. That's IGDA.
Yeah, you got it right.
SIG, IGDA-SIG.
IGDA-GA-SIG. Yeah. It's a group within. So the IGDA is kind of the, not quite a union, but trade association for professional developers across all consoles, PCs. They put on the Game Developers Conference every year in Los Angeles. And they have groups within the IGDA that focus on specific issues of gaming. And the General Accessibility SIG focuses on accessibility in gaming and how developers can do more to make their games more accessible.
Oh, cool. So
do they meet up at GDC or E3, or do they meet up on their own?
So I was not a member before GDC, but I think they had a panel and they met up there. They also have a very active, they have a very active mailing list, and they're basically the go-to site for whenever a developer wants stats to say, like, hey, you are leaving out a good portion of the market. You need to understand that, you know, making the game accessible is going to bring in that many more players.
Is there any majors like BioWare? I'm thinking of Dragon Age and all the things that they did for accessibility and how they went in that way. But are there any big names already involved with that organization?
Not that I don't know any specific developers involved in the GA-SIG. Right. There are a lot of people who are involved with Able Gamers Foundation.
Okay.
That's an association I forgot to send you a link for. AbleGamers.com. I know they, the head of Harmonix just donated $10,000 to them. They just spent a
wow.
week in New York talking to Rockstar and looking at how accessibility, when looking at the accessibility in L.A. Noire, their new big hit game. I know they've talked to other developers about having virtual keyboards for their MMOs. The name is blanking out on me, but they've done a lot with developers to kind of help them understand what is needed from an accessibility standpoint. Because I think for a lot of developers, it's just something that they never think about. It's not like they go out of their way to say, like, oh, we're just not going to support them at all. It's we just didn't think that, you know, button remappability is that important for people who are playing with physical disabilities and need to be able to play, you know, play it the way they want, play it the way that's comfortable for them.
Yeah, I got a couple questions here, comments I did want to mention. Santiago said that games made by a company called Trivia Fun Blast are accessible as well. And another one, Santiago also asks if Stem Stamper work with the iPad or just iPhone and iPod Touch.
It does work with the iPad. That's how I played the game. And I enjoyed it on the iPad. It does scale. I didn't mean to jump ahead of you there. but yeah, I played it on the iPad all the way through.
What is the Games for Health conference? I have to ask you that one.
Am I supposed to jump in?
Yes. All right, you could comment on that.
It is. Yeah, just it works for the iPad. You just times one or times two it. We have some people say they like it on the iPad better because they can kind of move around. The grids are bigger. But the Games for Health conference, that is a conference that it's actually my first time going to it and really knowing about it. But it's 3 days of talking about how gaming can help, can kind of have uses outside of just being pure entertainment. Like there are panels on gaming and depression, on extra gaming, getting people to exercise, teaching nutrition through gaming. I think there was one panel that I was really interested in gaming and ulcerative chloritis or Crohn's disease, and kind of seeing how you can give people more information about the disease through gaming, which is kind of right up the alley for what we're trying to do at the Nazi Productions.
Very interesting. Very interesting to teach people about diseases or different disabilities through the use of games. I think that's very effective, using audio and visuals to accomplish that.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I think, one of the reasons that I'm in games is that I think not only is it entertaining, but it's a very, very powerful teaching tool that I think a lot of people just haven't thought to use it that way yet.
It's kind of interesting. I have the same sort of philosophy. I tend to think of games as journeys that we go on, and we can learn a lot about our world and ourselves and each other from. That's why I named my magazine Odyssey way back when. It's precisely along those lines.
So people can follow you, I guess, Anansi Productions on Twitter, right? If they want to follow you and just kind of find out what the company's doing.
We're actually on Twitter. We're just Anansi Prods, PROD.
Okay.
Productions was too long.
Gotcha. Yeah, we got the link up here on the screen. Of course, folks can get the show notes page from Socializer on Samnet or iBlink Radio. So, yeah, Anansi, ANOSEPRODS, right? Or twitter.com/. So, check that out, folks.
ANANSEPRODS.
Oh, okay. ANANSEPRODS.
Sorry.
Sorry. All right. Very good. Yes. Trying to keep all this stuff straight tonight.
No problem.
We had you tip. We had you tip your hand. We had you tip your hand earlier on a sequel. We outed you there. But what can we look for? You'd mentioned in Twitter before about some in-game content. What can we look forward to on the app that's currently available?
Things kind of in store for Stem Stumper is we're probably going to have one or two more gardens. I'm looking into localizing the game right now so adding French, Italian, German, and Spanish support are what I'm looking into right now. And that's kind of, and some UI fixes, but that's kind of where we're seeing, that's kind of where I see Stem Stumper 1 going.
Okay, we have a question asking if any of you guys know about car racing games, and I did see a game on this Apple Vis. I don't know. Let's see if I can pull it up here and find out about it, but any of you know anything in that space? Accessible racing games.
Huh. Not that I've heard of yet.
Yeah, in the handhelds. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I know Able Gamers put up not exactly racing, but I think it's like power boats or motor boats. I think for, there's, I can't remember the name of it right now. Actually, let me look it up. They rated that very highly. I'm going to get the name while you guys.
Okay, and we have another question asking there's... about accessible RPGs, period.
Ooh, go for it, Michael. Come on. Okay. That's right up your alley, sir.
It certainly is. And I do have some interesting news that might be coming out soon. Not in the current space, there's simple sort of ones like Kingdom Live and Pets Live, where you're sort of competing against other players, doing like very simple quests and things and choosing options to advance your character. A lot of live games, they have different pets or vampires or whatever. They're mostly accessible. I think it was Storm. I'm thinking Storm Cloud Creations, but I'm probably not quite right there. But they're certainly accessible. I find them a bit shallow, somewhat. There's one game being worked on right now called King of Dragon Pass, and the developers are very keen, apparently, to add accessibility to it. It's still being worked on. It's not out yet. But you can find them at www.a-sharp.com. And they're very interested in making it voiceover supported, which would be excellent. I've had the pleasure of playing that with Sighted Assistance on a PC. And that is a narrative-driven, stats-heavy, randomized, pretty much infinitely replayable strategy role-playing combo that's very story-driven. Blind people would just eat this thing up if they managed to pull this off and make it accessible. So the more we can encourage them to do that, the better. King and Dragon Pass, if it is made accessible, it's just going to be brilliant for us.
Okay, well, that's going to put the wraps on our hour. We do want to congratulate. We had a contest last week and asked people to send in their name, phone number, and email address. And of those, we asked someone on Twitter to give us a number, and they chose 14, and we took all the names, put them in a spreadsheet, I think alphabetically by last name, and the 14th person happened to be Mr. Kevin Barry. So congratulations, you win a $100 gift card for Serotech Products and Services. We'll get in touch with you in the morning via email to award you your prize for that. We thank everyone for participating. Kwasi, we certainly want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come on, and we hope that many people will come over and try STEM Stumper, either full price or take advantage of the special on May 15th through the 21st. So we thank you, sir.
And I want to thank you, Sarah Talk, for having me on and including me as part of this conversation tonight.
Well, no, we really appreciate your efforts. We believe there's a bigger market of blind gamers than people realize, and we appreciate companies who go out on a limb and take that chance, because that certainly is an investment of time and resources and finances and so forth. Michael Fair, thank you, sir, for joining us with all of your great resources, as always.
Always a pleasure.
All right. And, of course, our great producer, Joe Steinkamp. You know, the show would not be complete without the great help, links and contacts and all kinds of resources done by Joe and, of course, Ricky Inger, also on the podcast team, and most importantly, you, the listener. It takes everyone and takes a community to make this a great community presentation, so we appreciate the input from all of you. Join us next week. We're going to be talking about, we're going to go a totally different realm. We're going to talk about hair and makeup and all that stuff and looking attractive and all that cool stuff. So we're Joe kind of
speaking of community.
Yeah.
Speaking of community, you can also pop over to the tech room. Kwasi is going to be over with us inside SamNet, so you can come on over and talk in the tech room. We're going to continue this conversation inside a System Access Mobile Network. If you're not already a member of System Access Mobile Network, you can actually join for 7 days for free. Just hop on over to www.satogo.com.
All right, with that said, we're going to put the wraps on Tech Chat 101. Thanks for joining us, and join us every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Until we meet again, stay connected and stay directed. This concludes another Serotalk Tech Chat, powered by Accessible Event, a product of Serotech Corporation, giving the blind, deaf, and deafblind full access to classes, meetings, and webinars using Microsoft Word documents, Excel spreadsheets, PowerPoint slides, and web pages. 508 compliance is just one click away at www.accessibleevent.com. Until we meet again, stay connected and stay directed.